Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Finance Show here on TipTV.co.uk. It is Tuesday, the 3rd of January 2017, a year that I'm sure will go down in history one way or the other. I'm joined on that note by Alan Green, who's CEO at Brand Communications, and I have to say that I am actually still here. I was supposed to be leaving on going on a sabbatical, but the delights of working for Deliveroo and Uber Eats and Hungry Horse just didn't appeal. My bike's just not in working order.
It's brinkmanship again, Zach, isn't it? I mean, at the Christmas party, you said you were leaving. None of us knew what would happen. And walking in there this morning, I fully expected to see Jenny, and here you are.
Exactly. I was even practicing being a waiter at the Christmas party.
Okay. What about the plumbing course?
That's also in progress. But my main thing will still be, it can always only be Tip TV.
Tip TV, yes. And technical analysis, of course.
Yes, on the side. Moonlighting and everything. What's your highlights over Christmas and going into 2017 in the financial markets, let's say?
What are the financial markets? Well, first of all, Happy New Year to all viewers. And just to say that I think we've got many reasons to be cheerful about 2017. Just a couple of things that have caught my eye. On the domestic front, of course, the weak pound is going to continue to help British business. It's going to certainly boost domestic tourism, and of course it's going to help those companies that are dollar earners. But we've seen more of the housing initiatives by the government over Christmas. We heard yesterday about the new garden cities that are going to be built up and down the UK to mimic what happened to Milton Keynes, of course, in the 50s and 60s, and Welwyn Garden City.
What a success those places were.
Huge, although, not wishing to knock those that live there, but frankly, the best thing about those cities is the road out of them. You know, they're not the most inspiring places to live. It's more housing, it's more affordable housing, discounted by some 25%, I think, from what the market value would be for first time buyers. So of course that's great for the housing market, great for house builders, and a plethora of other businesses that will benefit off the back of a booming housing industry.
Right, but we know that the government doesn't really want house prices to go down. So building too many houses would actually be counterproductive to that particular policy.
That's very true. But if you run out of first-time buyers, if you can't get first-time buyers onto the ladder, then that stream dries up anyway. So they've got to do something about it. And I think it's ultimately a good thing. We need more housing. I'm sure the residents of Virginia Water aren't too pleased that their multi-million pound mansions are going to have low-cost housing estates built across the road in the woods and the forests around the area, but that's just progress, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's hubris and progress mixed together.
A combination.
Let's have a look at the slides of the day. 2016, a year to remember for the energy bulls. Mm. I think this. I mean, it's very, very impressive. But what skews the whole thing and makes this rather less impressive for me is that this time last year we did actually have commodities at multi-year lows. So yep. They didn't have to do very much in order to improve themselves. And then the other issue, obviously, with President Trump coming on board in 17 days' time, he could just flick a switch or tweet out some message and everything goes out the window.
Yeah, I think we've got to give Trump a bit more credit than that. I think, of course, there are proposed interest rates interest rates that have been on the table in the US for some time. Those will probably come to pass at some point this year. But my belief is that Trump is viewed by the business community as a pretty strong pair of hands. And the chances are he will recognise the impact of anything he says as he moves into office on the global economy, particularly energy stocks as we see here. And I think he's already... The moves that made between him and Putin, although I've seen some fairly...
it's like a love affair, isn't it? They like each other so
much.
Well,
it is. I actually saw a picture on Facebook, which I was going to bring in today, but I thought it was a little too...
spicy for this time.
In poor taste, yes. It was Putin and Trump both in leather, chained to railings and, getting involved in...
There's a picture of us like that, isn't there?
Well, that's right. That goes back many years.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, yeah.
All right, so let's go on to the next slide. FTSE 100 up 14%, which obviously beats putting your money in the bank. Interestingly, the 250 way down in terms of performance there. But you know, just impressive, shows you what you know, the good old FTSE 100 can do.
It does. But also FTSE 250. Let's not forget, amongst that, there are some really good quality companies that that are obviously the next contenders for the FTSE 250. But it's been a difficult year because there are so many companies vying for those for the premier spot in the FTSE 100 that you've got to pick and choose your stocks a little more carefully in that index. But there are some great companies there that have almost delivered 10-bagger performance over the past year.
Okay, let's move along if we can. Most popular in business and finance, China's factory services cap year of gains as prices rise. China's factories and services both closed out 2016 on relatively robust notes that signal growth is strong enough for policymakers to keep pushing for economic reforms in 2017. That's from Bloomberg. And then business confidence stabilizes, but economic uncertainty looms amid Brexit. I think we've heard that one before somewhere. The survey says index rose to 14% from 12% recorded in September last year.
Yeah, business confidence continues to be at consistent highs. I think we've well and truly bucked the Brexit blues and moved on from there now. I don't think there are too many doubts about the economy. And as I said at the start, we've got tourism being stimulated by the cheap pound and FTSE 100 up 14%, and obviously those are dollar earners too. So we saw a big jump at the end of the year after Brexit.
Okay. Let's move along to sentiment amongst Oanda clients who have gone over 80% on gold, which is actually starting to move their way a bit, which is a bit of a relief after falling nearly $200 from the best levels. Aussie dollar along there amongst those clients, which seems to make sense. So looking at the chart, 71.50. Support there, and we've just bounced off that. Yeah. Long of sterling, which may be right at the lower end of the range, 120, just under 123.
Yeah,
and short of dollar yen and dollar CAD. Dollar yen has been very robust indeed, so that's maybe a brave bit of positioning there for Oanda clients.
At the start of the year, certainly.
Economic calendar, Germany, Consumer Price Index year on year, and in the US, ISM manufacturing for December.
And of course, we've got none farms on Friday, haven't we?
Right, so I presume it's going to be the same old guess around 180, which is the
178,
median.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it's reckoned to be the same as last month, so no surprise expected there.
Okay, let's go on to our trade of the day, which is Marks & Spencer, breach of falling trend line and rising bottom formation on the weekly chart. Buy above £3.52, maybe buy below £3.52 might be better, but objective 362 to 369 and stops below 345.
And of course, we've got a 200-day moving average on Marks, and in fact, that's one of the charts that we'll be looking at a little later on. There's a 200-day moving average hanging temptingly above the share price at the moment, but the building pattern has been very encouraging. But we have a statement out from them next week, of course, so it could slam into reverse if the statement's anything less than pretty good.
Okay, let's see what we've got there. That's your chart, Alan.
Well, that is Marks and Spencer's. As we said just now, we can see the stocks delivered multiple higher lows since July last year. Building steadily, the 50-day average has supported nicely, just failed to break through the 200-day moving average. But clearly, if the statement next week is at or around expectations, if the stock breaks through that, I think we could see a break higher. I think we could be looking even back towards May highs around the four. We're certainly in excess of £4.
Okay, next slide. Not so pretty.
Not so pretty, but the IG Group, of course, was hit along with CMC Markets by the FCA call to cap the activities on advertising for derivative products. The move was aimed largely at some of these overseas companies that, shall we say, operate in lightly regulated environments, but it's had a significant impact on the market leader IG and CMC. We have a trading statement out from IG at the end of the month with interim results, so all eyes will be on that to see what impact, if any, has taken place on IG's forward business. And of course, if there isn't, then one would argue that given the way the stock has built over the past couple of years, there could be a massive opportunity here.
And of course, along with the estate agents and lawyers, we feel so sorry when anything bad happens to brokers.
Of course.
The tears are just rolling down the cheeks.
Of course, yeah. I mean, IG are on a par with estate. Probably on a par with Foxtons, actually, in terms of hate.
Well, politicians we don't like either, do we?
Not really, no. But I think estate agents still take the biscuit.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Next slide. Broker forecasts. Intercontinental Hotels Group, big target upgrade there from Barclays Capital. Interesting, I think one of my highlights of last year was the way that Airbnb limited the amount of days you can flog your back room to 90 days a year, which I think possibly rather upset a few people's business models and near term. Especially in London. And then Premier Oil managing to defer its debt. Barclays have got a 100 pence target, which agrees with my technical target. And then Antofagasta, we've seen the copper price up 28% over the last year.
Premier Oil is also one of the picks of the year by the Times Tempest column as well, which is worth noting.
Could be the kiss of death,
It could be the kiss of death, yeah.
But
yeah.
We've got £6.
Or the editor's cap, perhaps.
That's right. The Antofagasta, the chart there, the target there, Macquarie, 635, which is well below where the shares are now. I'm looking for 650 to hold that gap and head up to 800 pence. Mm. Hopefully that won't be the kiss of death either. But on that note, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, thanks for opening up the Tip TV Finance Show.
Thank you, Zach.
We'll be back after the break.